Guess who's back? Back again. Shady's back. Tell a friend. From the landing strip, it's the 223rd edition of Houston Wrestling Radio.
323rd.
What did I say?
223rd.
Did I?
Yeah. You want to try that again?
Fuck. No. Okay. No. This is Abel.
This is Chris.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Losing track of our numbers.
You've had a hell of a week.
I have had a
this
hell of
will
a
be
week.
A, this will it's be been, the one time that I will excuse
it's
that.
Been a crazy, crazy week.
You're more than welcome to divulge with the audience your woe, your tales of woe, your Indiana Jones, your crusades.
It's okay. I don't need a burden all of our listeners.
Well, if that isn't depressing enough for you, we're still on the road to Fastlane.
Ah, yes, road to Fastlane.
Yeah.
Well, if you're watching this live, thank you. You can log into your YouTube or Google account, and that way you can chat with us along in the live chat. Now, have you
chat to us along? You broke your English, broke man.
You could, you know, do the thing on the here so I could read and see what you say, and then I'll try to involve you as best as I can in the show. If you're not watching us live, that's okay. You can still interact with us on Facebook, facebook.com/Houston Wrestling Radio, or on Twitter and Instagram. We have those things too. So just, you know, look at it.
MySpace, YouPorn, all that.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, Chris, Fastlane.
Fastlane. Fuck, we get it over with. The first thought that popped in your head when you heard or saw that Roman Reigns is back. You're not smiling.
I know I'm going to hell.
Do you want to preface this by saying you're talking about Roman Reigns, the character on a television program, instead of Joe Inouye, the human being that acts this character on television?
Sure, why not?
Okay, go.
I'm going to hell. Because my first thought was, holy fuck, Vince actually had the balls to do it. To do the thing that nobody would question and make a work out of leukemia. That was my initial reaction. I know that a lot of people are like poo-pooing it and there's like a lot of backlash, but you asked me what my knee-jerk initial reaction was. My knee-jerk initial reaction was that. I was like, wait a second. He's back that quick in the middle of WrestleMania season? Oh, damn it. The one thing that, like, nobody could question, because if you question it, you're an asshole, you know? Like, if you say, even the Leukemia Foundation were blasting fucking marks who were saying, oh, it's a work. And shit, man, like, that is my knee-jerk reaction. It's probably a work. And I hate to think that. I hate to think that Vince would actually stoop that low to do it. But has Vince stooped that low before? Well, maybe not that low, but pretty damn low. I wouldn't put it past. Like, Vince was trying tooth and nail all hell to get this guy over. And the one thing that'll do it is if you say that, like, this guy has a terminally ill condition and make it real and make us believe it. And then, oh, hey, he's back, guys. Da, 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 da. Like, oh, shit, man, this is probably a work. That was my knee-jerk reaction. But I don't know if I'm sticking with that reaction, because that was my knee-jerk. But after thinking about it, man, I don't know. But, man, the initial thing was, this crazy son of a bitch actually did it. He actually did it. I've had this conspiracy theory for years. Uh-oh. That there's layers of kayfabe. When kayfabe became dead, Vince said, okay, fuck it. Let them think that. And let's pull back the curtain a little bit, but not realize that there's another curtain behind that curtain. And that he works the fucking, the IWC, and he works us smart marks. He works us. Well, this could be another one of those layers where he's working us. And I mean, would he stoop that low?
I'm not sure if I'm going to go that far. I'm not about to pull a Trump 2017 and ask for tax returns. I'm not going to ask for documentation to show that on the chart, Roman Reigns does have a form of leukemia in his system and has had it for over a dozen years. Yeah. I'm not going to go that far. As a fan watching a pro wrestling program for almost 20 years, there are pieces of it that, as somebody that isn't a casual viewer, it doesn't sit well with me. For example, Why now? We'll get to the NXT guys in a bit, but you've had five people from NXT, technically six, that's still suffering from anxiety that you haven't really done much with. So instead of saving some surprises for post-WrestleMania, you bring Gargano, Ciampa, Black, Ricochet on the roster. And now, of all places, you're bringing Roman. And we're watching it in about a 30-minute, 20-minute delay at Travis's with his DVR.
Yeah.
The segment wasn't even over, and Travis already got an email, ping, on his phone. Hey, $28 Roman Reigns new t-shirt that you just saw on television that's got the cancer the logo kind of built in. Is any of that going to charity? No.
We did actually research that ourselves because that was a thought that we had over at our house too. Hey, it has a little ribbon, the orange ribbon represents leukemia. And we're like, oh, I wonder if any of those proceeds go to. And they don't. At least from what we saw. Where's Dingy?
Somewhere.
Still in the backpack.
Keep
flapping your gums. I'm going to find Dingy.
I can appreciate the fans in Atlanta. They went over. They were over for most of this show on Raw. And they were cheering the fuck out of Roman, which was well-deserved. I didn't think he deserved a 20-minute segment just for him to say five sentences. You know, the crowd could have at least gotten that part over with. I'm wondering how long that's going to last until they get over the high that Roman Reigns is back from remission. Well, that Joe Inouye is back from remission, the human being, and the character Roman Reigns that we needed a break from is now back on television. You know? You're not going to have a guy like that and not try to put him in a prominent match at WrestleMania, but against who? You know,
it looks like Corbin.
It's looking like an eight-man tag. The Shield,
oh, really?
The Shield and Strowman against the four guys.
Elias, Lashley, Corbin, and
McIntyre. 4-on-4 for Fastlane. That'd be nice.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah.
Slowly. You know, I've always said the last couple of years, Roman's okay when he's over here. But when he's like right in your face every week, twice a week, three times a week almost, even with guys that you do like, eventually it wears thin.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a fan of Pentagon Jr., Pentagon Dark, Pentagon. He's on 9 different television shows. You don't see me running around watching all 9 fucking television shows to get my fix of Pentagon because eventually you're going to get tired of it. You know, and I'm hoping that with Bruce Pritchard now back in creative – this was his first Monday was his first day. I hope that they take stock in what they have and not rush it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad to see Roman back. Miss is a strong word, but it's good to have him back.
Okay.
You left it on a high note, and I hate to say it that way, but Roman left on a high note with the leukemia thing.
Okay.
So you have a chance not to build a badass rebel, but to build a human being that has actually persevered, not once, but twice, against something that a lot of people can relate to. We had Arnold here when Roman made the announcement, and it affected him, and he was literally saying if he read enough backlash of it, that he would, like, just ignore dirt sheets or stop watching wrestling fans or whatever.
Right, you know?
So it can affect people that way.
Yeah.
So – You're treading a thin line already due to when you brought him back. as long as you figure out how to bring him back in doses as opposed to just chugging the whole thing out of the freezer, that's going to show whether this reaction that he got on Monday is going to last.
It's going to sustain.
WrestleMania, yeah. SummerSlam, Survivor Series
and,
next year.
And that's interesting because that kind of brings me to my not knee-jerk reaction. All right? And excuse me. I'm getting over a cold, guys. Robert Medlin, what's up? Welcome. Thank you for joining us in the live chat. Also, Porsche is here. But, of course, you know, it's Porsche. Hey, Porsche.
Sorry.
Well, Porsche says this. When I hear people say stuff like that, it reminds me why a lot of people dislike Marks. Yeah.
Get back to work, Porsche. Yeah. Apparently, you got big things going on.
Robert says this. It's definitely not at work. They never use cancer or leukemia. If anyone ever found out, WWE would be out of business. And I wouldn't say they'd be out of business because it would take a lot more than just that to take out the WWE, but it would definitely be a black eye. It would be like if it got out that, hey, all this was fake, they, you know, how do you pronounce that dude's name? Jesui Smalls or whatever his name is? Jesui. I don't know. The dude that said he got beat up, but he didn't get beat up by.
Oh, that guy. I don't know. The guy who's on Empire.
I've only read his name. I've never heard his name. Jesui Smollett?
I don't know.
Smollett? I don't know. Him. Like, it would be the same type of thing as this. Empire isn't going anywhere, but this guy did something real stupid. Yeah. So I would imagine that, you know, WWE isn't going anywhere, but goddamn, that was a really stupid fucking thing. And then they're going to talk about this the way people now, 20 years later, talk about Katie Vick. Oh, God, that was one of the stupidest things I've ever done, but WWE's not under. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. If this is a work, if it's a work, holy shit, goddamn, like that's fucking despicable that they do that. However, I would kept saying that this was my knee-jerk reaction. Right now, and even watching it a little bit through, I'm not so sure. One, because goddamn, the audacity to do that, which is basically everybody's biggest defense. No, WWE wouldn't do it. I don't know if I would give that leeway to WWE to say they wouldn't, but okay, fine. The thing that ticked my needle a little bit more on the other side saying it's not a work is the real actual emotion that we've got from Roman when we've never actually seen that kind of emotion before. Roman, let's face it, is not a good actor.
Suffering succotash.
Yeah. And it seemed as though either he overnight was able to produce the fucking act of a lifetime. He deserves a fucking Grammy or Oscar, whichever one they give to actors.
Emmy. Television.
Yeah, that thing. They gave him a fucking award for that because, holy shit, he went from having absolutely no skill acting to convincing everybody, including myself. So that kind of maybe lends it a little bit credence to maybe this is real and all this other shit. The fact that it's in the middle of WrestleMania season is a coincidence. I don't know. That type of emotion, that level of emotion he was showing was the only it was tantamount to the same level of emotion I saw from Brian coming back, from Edge having to retire, from you know, shit like that, you know, like real, hey, this shit is real. That was the thing that kind of convinced me.
Let me get to Robert's point real quick.
All right.
This is the same company that went through a steroid scandal in the 90s, into the early 90s. Had the scandal of Owen Hart falling to death live in front of an audience in the late 90s. We had terrorists take The Undertaker away the day after the bombings in France.
Yeah.
We had Chris Benoit murder his family related to the company, and the company's still going. Not only is the company still going, the company's going still strong. At the end of the day, the only thing that's going to attract the fans away from a company to the point that it goes out of business is honestly, if there's a better product out there. I'm with you.
Okay.
This isn't the first time on Raw, just last Monday, this isn't the first time where this wasn't the character on television in front of us. This was the human being in front of us. And that's where I'm kind of, I guess because I've had some, not animosity, but since I've been so critical of his work, before he left, even with the circumstances around us right now, I'm willing to give it the benefit of the doubt.
Okay.
Again, if they ham-fist Roman into this show, if they ham-fist him into the star again, if he main events every single, if he's got five matches at this WrestleMania, it doesn't matter. He's not the only person on the card. So it's not going to, all I'm going to do is the same thing we do every other week at Travis's house. Fast forward. It's not going to kill me, you know, but with him back and the way things are going right now, I'm willing to see where it goes. Yeah. Especially if Dean's really leaving. Like, you're not having the Shield because, you know, Dean's fucking leaving.
Which, you know, I'm going to sound like I'm way too fucking in my own head with conspiracy theory stuff. I've been thinking since the get-go that this stuff with Dean's a work. You know? So I really don't think Dean's going anywhere. So I hate to sound like a broken record to say, oh, that's a work too. But I still think it is.
I'm going to stick by my conspiracy theory. If Daniel Bryan can pull it off, I'm expecting a heel Roman Reigns with the Usos ending 2019.
Okay, cool. So at the end of the night, and even sitting right here right now, I'm leaning less towards the side that it's a work, mm-hmm. and I'm leaning more towards, okay, fine, you know, he really is sick, or was sick, and you know he looked
a lot thinner.
He did. He looked like he lost a little bit of weight.
Yeah, that's gonna take time. Gonna take a lot of time, which as antsy as you are to return to something that you really love, don't rush it. Take your time.
Right.
You know, give him.
Which makes sense for the tag team thing that you're talking about. Yeah. Put him in a tag match. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I saw, you know, a couple of independent wrestlers here in the, you know, Houston and Texas area. One specific Facebook post posted up by one of them is, oh, I must have missed the day at wrestling school when all these wrestlers became experts on cancer, you know, and I don't claim to be an expert on cancer, but, and I know I'm not a wrestler.
Diabetes though.
Well, I'm not a wrestler, but I think I would say that I'm kind of an expert. Like I've been around wrestling a long, long time. I mean, yeah, sure. Sometimes that makes wrestlers uneasy. Oh, you never taken a bump. You never put on a match. You never entertained 30 people.
How many stitches have you gotten?
Yeah, brother? Exactly. But it's like, dude, I've had my fucking nose in that book for so long that I would say it's still, I don't think I would put it past for it to be a work. That being said, I'm not convinced. I'm not as convinced now as I was when I first heard the dana. Back then, when I first heard on Monday, dana, I was like, 90% this is a work. Right now, sitting here in front of you and in front of this audience, I'm like, 45% says this is a work. So still majority says it's not. That being said, can I, off of that 55%, finally enjoy Roman as a babyface? Can I? I'm going to ask you the same question. I'm going to answer my own. I'll give you a minute. All right. For myself, what is something I've said here on this show many times? I want to like Roman Reigns. Mm-hmm. I've always said that. He was a member of the Shield when he was there in that Royal Rumble before all the shit with Bryan went down and like he kind of had a breakout moment. Everybody was cheering and clapping for him. I was cheering and clapping for him. I really wanted him to do well. It wasn't until they fucked up his booking, they wrote a bunch of stupid shit for him to say and he wasn't able to deliver the lines that everybody turned on him. But I've always wanted to actually like the guy. So right now with that 55% belief that okay, yeah, this is real. This is legit. I want to be on board. I want to be a fan of Roman Reigns. I want to cheer for him as a babyface. So if I could suspend my disbelief that this is a work and think that it's real life, and maybe it is, and maybe that 55% of me is right, then fuck it. I'm cheering for Roman. Because, dude, he fucking survived leukemia twice and is now wrestling for his heart and his passion and his family. Like, holy shit, that's fucking awesome. So, yeah, I'm going to cheer for the guy. But it's always going to creep in the back of my mind. Maybe it's not real. Maybe it's a work. I don't know. But I'm going to shut that shit down. That's where I am now.
It's not me.
Chris, where are you? Can you cheer? The question was, can you cheer a babyface Roman now?
Half-assedly?
Holy shit, I'm sorry. Randy said, being in remission from leukemia doesn't make you interested. God damn, Randy.
Neither does getting rear-ended, does it?
Oh, God damn. Fuck you, Chris.
So like I was saying before, I've been rudely interrupted by this chat room. I could do it half-assedly. You know, I can clap for him. Not cheer, like my vagina's wet. I can clap for him as a person to another person, congratulating him back. And then from there, we'll see where the booking takes him.
It's based on booking for you.
Yeah, it's based on booking. The whole thing has been based on booking. Right. The whole reason people have hated Roman Reigns primarily is because he was given the position that we all felt then that it undoubtedly was deserved to Daniel Bryan.
Right.
And I don't think booking ever wrote themselves out of that hole. They just decided to work 5 feet under for the last 5 years.
And they kept doubling down.
Yeah.
Every time we said no.
Now there's with the brand split, there's so many people coming out of the woodwork that you didn't think would be on the level of Daniel Bryan, where you would think, you know what? There's other people on this brand that are ready. I never thought Seth Rollins would be as on top or as hot as he is right now.
You never thought? Okay.
Because remember, he did that as a heel. Mm-hmm. It's easy to get a heel reaction. It's not easy to get a face reaction because obviously Roman's had that problem.
I don't know if I'd say that, but okay.
And I didn't think Seth was there, was ever going to come back there. And now he's like, I think he's the guy. And I'm hoping that Roman showing back up doesn't derail the momentum of other people just because, oh, there's a spot that was deserved to him that he just gave up. I mean, shit happens, you know. Batista came back for WrestleMania 30 assuming that he was going to be the guy winning the title just because, oh, I had a bad back and I was gone for 7 years. Oh, I don't, you know. The Royal Rumble documentary, he was complaining about all the fans booing him when he thought Daniel Bryan should have won it. It's like, well, this ain't your company. To be honest, it's not the McMahon's company. It's ours. It's everybody's.
Is it?
Because if we make enough reaction, things happen. Did you think did you really think in the last 5 years that we would ever see Kofi Kingston with a WWE title shot?
He doesn't have a WWE title shot right now, bro.
Did you ever think he was in the chamber last minute?
Okay.
Did you ever think that we'd be talking about Becky Lynch in the same mouth that we're talking about Ronda Rousey and Charlotte Flair a year ago? The whole Daniel Bryan thing. You know, if we're loud enough, and not just Marks, I'm talking everybody, because there's some things that are so easy, even the blind can see it. Mm-hmm. If it's that obvious and you make a noise loud enough, eventually the company will hear you and they will listen to you.
Robert says, we are the authority now.
If the WWE plays this Roman card right, eventually, maybe sooner than later, they're going to get what they finally wanted to get out of the whole Roman Reigns experiment.
Okay. So for you, as of right now,
I've been heartbroken.
Okay.
So I'm going to take my time.
As of right now, you can't be a fan of Roman, but you could respect Joe Anoa'i.
Yeah.
Okay. I can see that.
Like I said, if 3 weeks from now, I already feel like I'm getting too much of Roman Reigns on television.
As of right now, I think I could be a fan of Roman as long as those suspicions don't creep back up. Mm-hmm. You know? And then again, this does all hinge on booking. So let's say they, every fucking week, like
twice a week,
the big dog, Roman Reigns, survivor of leukemia. Like, fuck, like it's his new nickname, leukemia survivor. Like, oh shit, okay, we get it. Like, if they keep fucking shoving that down our throat.
First time ever.
First time ever, leukemia survivor in the main event of Royal Rumble, you know, like. First time ever, leukemia winner.
Roman Reigns versus Susan G. Komen at WrestleMania 35.
Like, oh my God! Come October, fuck me, man. Like, okay, yeah, we get it. I don't know. But as of right now, again, it all is hinging on,
for example,
on booking. As of right now, I'm on board.
For example, we've spent the last 25 minutes talking about Roman. I'm already fed up. So can we move on?
Yes, let's move on to Kofi.
Kofi, all right.
You brought him up.
Awesome. So yeah. Kofi. He's out, which I'm glad. We got Kevin Owens coming back from remission of injury. And it's funny. It's obvious for the audience in the arena and the casual audience at home to be upset that Kofi Kingston's been pulled out of this match. I'm not upset for two reasons. Number one, I want Kofi versus D-Bry at Mania.
Okay.
Not at this pay-per-view that we don't even need to have.
Okay.
Number two, who does not want to fucking see Kevin Owens versus Daniel Bryan? Show me a wrestling fan that does not want to see Kevin Owens versus Daniel Bryan, and I will show you a liar.
I'm sure we could go dig up some ROH footage and see Kevin Steen versus Bryan Danielson. I'm sure that match is fucking badass, too.
Yeah.
All right. I know that it's easy to focus on Kofi. I know that it's easy to say, oh, hey, Kofi at Mania. They're probably saving this feud instead of blowing it at Fastlane. They're going to, you know, keep the pot stirring. And I think it's also easy to say Kevin Owens versus Bryan, great. But the thing I really want to zero in on, we could talk about those other subjects.
Oh,
the thing I want to zero in on is the fuck is up with Vince? Twice now in the last few weeks. Twice, Vince said, hey, you guys like this person, Becky? Hey, you guys like Kofi? Nah. And it's kind of at the chagrin of the rest of the authority. You know, Triple H, Steph, Shane. Steph and Shane were visibly like more subtle with Triple H and Stephanie with Becky. But if you notice something at the end of Raw, when Triple H was out there talking about all the crazy things that happened on Raw, he didn't poo-poo on Becky. He said, yeah, Becky got arrested. That's pretty crazy. That's entertaining, isn't it? So I think that was like a little crack in the veneer of what actually is going on behind the scenes of kayfabe, where Triple H is like, look, I know we really want to have Becky, and I know we really want to have this, but what the fuck was up with your dad? Why did your dad take him out? We were ready to put her in there. I get it that she's, you know, crazy or whatever, and she's doing this and that, but this is the money match. So they're like actually on the same page agreeing, but they kind of had their hands tied a little bit, and then Vince said, nope. They're like, well, we probably could have worked something out, but thanks, Vince. But whatever, it's fine, because this was just a situation. But the stuff with Kofi wasn't a situation. That was Vince going out there doing pretty much the exact same thing, except the rest of the authority. What? Why? Like, I kind of get it why you did it with Becky, but I don't understand why you're doing it with Kofi. You're fucking with our booking.
On Black History Month.
So I think there's a little bit more of an interesting underlying story there that maybe telegraphing way too far down the future, but maybe this is the beginning of the end of Vince being in charge. And Triple H, he said it himself. Some of you may know that I'm in charge of this other world traveling brand, NXT. And hey, let's bring some NXT guys up here and look how good. Like, oh, wait a second.
Take over.
They're bringing that subtly, that power struggle that's already there to the forefront, and it's slow fucking burning. And man, I really hope that's what's happening with this. Am I reading too much into this? Am I getting too excited for really fucking subtle shit?
The SmackDown after WrestleMania, we're going to find out that Triple H is the leader of the Undisputed Era. I'm too old for DX, so let me show these younger kids how it's done. And he starts the brand supremacy war with Vince.
Okay.
Yeah, but again, that's looking too far ahead. God, I love SmackDown, dude. SmackDown. This feels like I'm watching SmackDown from 2004, 2005.
Okay.
Where they are welcome to take risks, a lot of risks. And you've got Kofi and Kevin Owens. And again, Kevin Owens, he normally he's the guy that's like, you know, I'm better than everybody. I deserve this and this and that. He's putting over Kofi. He's like, That was interesting. I don't know what's going on. He volunteered the tag match with Kofi.
And he was civil in the match.
They won.
He was civil. Yeah. He kind of knew it, like.
And then post match, they're talking. They're talking, and Kofi's like, I don't like you, but I don't necessarily hate you yet. So they're playing with a lot of shit right now on the title picture on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
You think they'll throw Sami Zayn on SmackDown too and add him to this stew?
Maybe. Porsche said something interesting in the live chat regarding Vince. He's been fired, rehired, fired, blown up, back from the dead too many damn times.
And headbutted by the same guy he brought in for this title match.
True. So so I don't know, but I hope there's a little something more to that. Can I get excited for Kofi? Fuck yes. Kofi's okay, yes and no. Because Porsche's theory, sitting on the couch watching, you guys know, by the way, I guess she's watching WWE now. Porsche's theory was, oh shit, they're saving Kofi for Mania. Which, mm-hmm. Hey, I hope you're right. I hope that is the case. Don't blow the match at Fastlane. You know, let them, you know, move on. And I'm excited for that. That is if that's where this is going. If this was just like a placeholder feud just for right now and that's it, I wouldn't put it past, because let's be honest, it will be a risk for WWE to do that. WWE is not known for taking risks, period, but they're especially not known for taking risks during WrestleMania season. Okay, so if they actually put Kofi in the main event of WrestleMania, well, main event, we'll get to that, then that would be rather unprecedented. When Jeff Hardy actually won that heavyweight title, it wasn't during WrestleMania season. It was in the downtime during Christmas, Armageddon, December, well before WrestleMania season. I know, yeah, just a month before Royal Rumble starts, but still, well before WrestleMania season. There's a nice little lull right there during the holidays. That's when they fucking like to experiment around and do crazy, weird shit. But then once Royal Rumble hits, all right, enough with playing with this bullshit. Let's get the real top guys out there and push them. So it's kind of interesting that they're playing around with this, but I don't have faith that that's exactly where they're going. But if they do, fuck, I'm excited. I'm excited for Kofi, man. That's going to be really fucking cool. But I just don't know if it's going to happen.
You mentioned it.
Okay.
The Hardy Boys also returned on SmackDown.
Yeah, okay. I thought Matt was done. I guess not.
Got a third win. Got a third win. Got a fourth win.
I guess
looks to be in great shape.
He looked good. He looked like he didn't have a battle with leukemia.
Now, would you rather see the Hardy Boys together as a team?
No.
Or do you want to? Okay.
I mean, it's cool seeing Matt. It was cool to coming out the. It was cool, but. The same problem that I had at WrestleMania when they showed up is the same problem I have now. If you're bringing Matt back, oh, man, how many teeth did we have to fucking pull to get into the fucking classical music? While Matt has been gone, Jeff is still running around out there with his own music, his fucking face paint, but doing he'll do the this, but then he'll also do the delete. Okay, cool. Now that Matt's back, let's pick up where we left off with the Woken shit.
Especially that Jeff's merch has obsolete on the back.
Yes! Like they're
still running the whole broken...
And since he's doing the entire face paint with the eyes thing, like going even further than what it was during Team Extreme days, it just makes more sense to go with the full-on Woken broken bullshit. Do it, man, do it! You got a second chance with Matt Hardy and you fucked it up the first time. Let's do it this second time.
What would you rather see at WrestleMania?
Yeah.
Or what would you rather see in 2019? Kofi Kingston one-on-one against Daniel Bryan for the heavyweight title with the New Day in Kofi's corner? Or would you want to see Broken Matt with obsolete Jeff? Broken Matt versus Daniel Bryan for the WWE title main eventing a pay-per-view. since you've just gushed about pulling teeth for all the stuff that you loved about Matt Hardy during his solo run in TNA, which is one of the main reasons and why they brought them back, because of his work. Otherwise, if he hadn't done that, there's no way in hell they would have brought them
back. All right, so you say broken Matt with obsolete Jeff versus D-Bry or Kofi?
With the New Day against
D-Bry. The New Day? Oof. Why you got to put who me on spot like
that? Well, hey, you're going to talk a lot of game. You better play up.
Kofi. I'd rather see Kofi get his shot, get his time in the sun, and actually win the damn thing. Okay. As much as I went on and on right now about Matt, I don't think it's necessary for Matt to be involved in a world title picture. I think it's more about let him be this character, and it doesn't have to be for a title. Let him have a feud with fucking, I don't know, Rey Mysterio or fucking Randy Orton or some bullshit. Just let him be woken.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to the title, yes, give it to Kofi. That's all Kofi really needs to round out his career.
I'm unlike other wrestling fans that tend to forget that other things do happen. I do validate Matt Hardy's run in TNA with the heavyweight championship as a run, which is one run more than Kofi Kingston ever got.
True.
Matt Hardy had the ECW title, which again, Kofi was also in that brand for a minute. He debuted in ECW. That's more than Kofi ever got. So as much as I would love to see, even if they finally get it 1,000% right with Broken Matt and Obsolete Jeff, I would rather see something that I haven't seen yet, which would be Kofi. And maybe we start working in with a break into the New Day.
I was going to say, as much as I've secretly would have, like, if you told me 6 months ago, hey, one of the three members of the New Day are going to get a main event push going into Mania, who do you want it to be?
The last one would have been Kofi for me.
I probably would pick Xavier, then Kofi, then Big E.
Oh, I would have picked Xavier first. The up, up, down, down, the video game stuff, his presence, he has a natural charisma. Then I would have picked Big E, because I have not forgotten all the cool, crazy shit he did with Dolph Ziggler, where holy crap, 3 and enough, but I had 95, actually has a personality that I like.
Yeah.
Give me more of that.
Yeah.
And then Kofi, because I figured he'd already had his run. He's had a lot of belts.
Yeah.
You know, he hasn't had the belt, but he's been around long enough to where he needs to hold he needed to hold the door for the next crop to come in.
Well, but I can also see if you're trying to pick out of the three that it should be Kofi because he's more tenured than the other two, which he might be able to open the door for the other two. But I also remember saying this. I don't know how long ago, but I know it was on this show where if you broke up the New Day, do you want them to stab each other in the back and have one of them have a heel run and this and that? I said no. I don't ever want that to happen. I want them to always be amicable. Not, we're breaking up and drama, but like, hey, man, I'm going to go for this title. Okay, cool. You do your thing. I'll do my thing. And every so often, you know, you might see them chilling in the back together. Survivor
Series.
Yeah, Survivor Series. They're coming back. They're having fun. But I don't want to have like a Shield moment where it's like, whap in the back with the chair or something. I don't want that drama. I want them to always be cool with each other forever and ever and ever, and not have them have a heel turn on each other, and then they'll just always be cool and they'll have their own fucking title runs. That's what I want for the New Day. And it seems like we're kind of going that way right now. I don't mind Kofi, once he gets the title, breaking off from the New Day and having the same fucking uniform as the other three, the same colors and everything. Maybe getting a new entrance music or something like that. Like, that's fine. But always being cool with the other two, you know? That's what I want to see, because you never really see that in wrestling. If you have a group or a trio or a faction and...
There always has to be a split.
There has to be a dramatic fucking stab in the back split. No, don't do that with these guys. Do something different.
So let's talk about the women for a little bit.
Oh, Xavier versus Andrade for the U.S. title. Yes. Yes. The women. Okay, sorry.
Becky gets arrested. Ronda drops the title. Charlotte wants the title. Start us off.
Ronda, bless your heart. She tried so hard to make sense of that promo while still trying to sound pissed off, and she just kind of fumbled all over everything. Bless her heart.
But
I understood the final message. The final message is, I can't let you pick and choose, because then this doesn't become a title anymore of who's the best. And if I'm going to represent this title, I'm going to represent the best.
My way.
And I'm not going to let you or your family just hand pick and choose who you want to fight. So if that's the case, this isn't a real belt. So fuck you. That's it. She could have said that a little bit better. She didn't say it quite the right way. She fumbled up her lines, but bless her heart, I understood what she meant.
This is the second time, because I mentioned this earlier in the beginning, this was the second time in the night where this wasn't a character on television talking on the microphone. This was a human being talking on the microphone. This wasn't Ronda Rousey, the professional wrestler. This is Ronda Rousey, the young little girl that grew up to be a pro wrestler that's actually in the ring and still is on the high 9 months later that she's a pro wrestler. And the fact that she fumbled over everything came off to me, because the message still came home crystal clear when she left the ring. I hate using this word, but it's to Ronda. I thought it was cute. Like, I get it. Like, dude, there's times where I'm so passionate about something when I talk about it that I, like, stumble through 3 different languages and 8 different things before I finally say whatever it comes out of my mouth. You know, when you're so into something, it shows. And sometimes your, I don't want to say misdirection, but your fumbling gives it a bit more earnest.
You know? Okay, I can see.
And the fact that I still understood what she was trying to say, even though she was like hiccuping in the middle, because she was like the little fangirl was still trying to break out and she couldn't hold it in and she couldn't do 2 things at once.
Yeah.
The fact that at the end of the day I knew what she said, it could have had more impact if she was flawless. But the fact that I saw a genuine person cut that promo in the moment, it didn't take away anything like negative from it. So I know what the point is. Ron is like, I don't want to be your champion if it's not going to be, if I'm not going to be a fake champion. So if you're going to do it your way, you keep it. I don't want it. I'll go SmackDown.
Which the point there was the integrity part of Ronda. Ronda's showing how much she cares about being not only a good champion, but an honest champion and an undisputed champion. And if it's against hand-picked opponents, then it's not really a championship.
And that makes sense. And she's a perfect babyface for it right now, because she's even had opportunities. For example, Survivor Series, when Charlotte beat the shit out of her with the kendo stick, Ronda grabbed a stick, broke it over her foot, and went to town on her.
Yeah.
She doesn't need to sing to people's levels to get her point across.
Right.
And the fact that she did that to Stephanie in the ring, and Stephanie didn't like argue that. Like, she like sold the fact that, you know what, this motherfucker that kept breaking my arm the last year, this bitch might be right.
A little bit more to the breaking that veneer of a united front from the new fucking McMahon era, where Stephanie's like, yeah, I know my dad kind of fucked up, but we gotta stand united, so I still gotta put up, but like, just quit making this difficult because I know I'm in the wrong. You know, like, shut up, my dad's watching. Yeah. Like, you know, like she couldn't do that, you know. And I think that's what adds a little bit more intrigue to stuff the next night with Kofi.
The only part that I hated that fucking audience.
The audience, why?
Telling me what I did not want. I do not want a triple threat with these three women.
That's true.
I want Becky,
mentioned that in
who deserved,
chat.
Who earned her shot regardless of how she ended up there. She won the Rumble. She's entitled to her match at Mania one-on-one. Charlotte has no business there. You can tell me whatever story you want, whatever fairy tale, but at the end of the day, if it doesn't make sense, I don't want to hear it. So if I'm not getting Becky versus Ronda Rousey one on one, and I said it last couple weeks ago, my anticipation level is going to be at a
And everybody's high hopes that this could be the first time the women main event WrestleMania.
End the show.
End the show.
Because every match apparently is a main event at WrestleMania. Right. No, end the show.
Right, right. To end the show. Everybody's high hopes for that. I think dwindles a little bit if it's a triple threat.
A lot.
Because, yes, there's been triple threats and McMahon in every quarter, four-way matches and things like that.
HBK, Benoit, WrestleMania 20.
It's not unprecedented, you know, for there to be a multi-person match to end the show, right? But the vast majority of WrestleMania main events are one-on-ones, the big money match. So sometimes...
Even heavyweight title matches are normally one-on-one.
Yeah. Sometimes if you put in a triple threat, that's a main event for a nice little gimmick pay-per-view. And it could be a damn good fucking match. I'm not saying triple threat matches are bad. What's my favorite match type? Triple threat. That's my favorite match type. That being said, I don't even want to see a triple threat for this. I want to see Becky versus Ronda one-on-one, and that's what I want to see, and that's it. Final. You know? And I'm kind of hoping, I know that there's not enough time. I'm kind of hoping to, the way they're going to wrap this all up in a nice little bow, Becky versus Charlotte at Fastlane, whoever wins gets Ronda.
Exactly.
And that's it. But they're cutting that shit kind of close. They got, what, a week to make that happen? And one of them's in jail.
And suspended.
And suspended. And the other one's, like, on SmackDown but not Raw. And then, like, who's going to book that? And, like, you got to unsuspend. I don't know. I don't know. It's getting sticky. So it might actually be a triple threat. And if it's a triple threat, the chances of that being the last match on the show at Mania, that goes down a little bit, the chances of that happening.
So we talked about Becky. We talked about Ronda.
Okay.
Now, what'd you think of the promo on SmackDown with Charlotte bringing up the stuff that Ronda said against her about being a champ?
Everything Charlotte said was great. Charlotte delivered everything the way she should have. She's playing this role and she's playing this character how she should be playing it for the way that it's written as the story for her. I don't have any problem with the way Charlotte's actually doing any of this shit. The problem that I have is that Charlotte's still stuck in this. Okay? The way Charlotte's acting, some of her mannerisms look like her daddy, and it kind of makes sense. And
especially when she has that stare in the hard camera and it zooms in and
And you know what? She's come a long fucking way from I don't need you anymore. She's come a long way from that fucking promo. So she's actually, you know, she's starting to follow in her daddy's footsteps. She's starting to get those promo skills. So I'm cool with it. Just the thing is, this isn't the time.
Any other match, any other pay-per-view, any other city.
What I wanted to happen, what I was begging to happen, what I was yelling at the TV as I was watching to happen is, where the fuck is Asuka? Asuka needs to go out there and assert herself and be like, why are all you bitches fawning over that title that's vacant when you have an actual contender here? When you have somebody that has a world title here, all of you are afraid of me. That's why you're not challenging me. I want Asuka so bad to go out there and be like, bitch, look at me. I'm your champ. And she's not doing it.
The way that Charlotte used Rousey's own promo last year against Rousey is I'm hoping that's what Asuka does to Charlotte's promo to use against Charlotte to have her get Asuka in this match. But don't know why. What happened was from the news with the Z, their segment got cut. Asuka's segment got cut with Mandy Rose. So basically, it was announced this morning at Fastlane, Asuka's defending the title against Mandy Rose.
Okay, big whoop. So what?
Yeah, like, so we have until so we have Asuka mopping the floor with this chick, and then the next night at the next SmackDown after Fastlane, that's when we start figuring out what to do. When we start figuring out what to do. Thank you for sneezing over there.
Yeah. Nasty Nate says in the live
chat,
what's up, Nasty Nate? He says, did Charlotte get her Enrique Iglesias mole removed? Yeah, it looks like she did.
And her titty fixed. Yeah, pictures look a lot better now. We're going to end the television talk on a drag. As in Ric Flair getting the fuck dragged out of the locker room. You and Batista aren't really the best of bedfellows. What do you think of Batista coming back? And essentially, we're going there. Batista versus Triple H at WrestleMania. What do you think?
I'll tell you what I like. I like that I was swerved the fuck out. Holy shit, I was so swerved. I wasn't expecting it at all. I wasn't expecting that guy off in the distance running that way. Was that Batista? The fuck? Oh, well, Batista must be there because it's Rick, and like he must be going to save Rick or find out where Rick was. It's like pulling a cameraman. It's like, hey, there's something wrong with Rick. Come here, cameraman, and look and see what's up. But then when he went into the locker room, left the cameraman outside, closed the door, I was like, well, that's stupid, you big dumb oaf. If you brought a cameraman over there, why didn't you bring the cameraman to the other side of the door? Why'd you just slam the door in the cameraman's face? Like, whatever, that's stupid. But I was swerved. And then he brought Rick out, dragging him by the thing, which again, that was another weird production thing. It's like, if Batista took the time to drag a cameraman over to show him what you done did, why did you not done do the thing that you done did in front of the cameraman if you took the time to drag him all the way over?
Ric Flair's 70.
I guess. So I don't know.
He's only got enough time in his life for 3 more wives. That's it. So he's got to preserve the Space Mountain.
Robert says I was half expecting Becky to be putting Rick in the disarmor. Yes, I agree with you, Robert. I was expecting Becky being so pissed off at all this shit to have gotten out of jail and just stick it to Vince and to stick it to everyone else. Oh yeah, how about this? And crank back. So I kind of thought Batista was saving Rick from Becky.
In hindsight, I'm glad they didn't do Becky.
Okay.
That could have made Becky look like a heel.
Yeah.
You don't want to risk that momentum by having a beloved legend on his birthday in front of other legends.
That would have been a very heel.
So it could have been costly. So I like the fact. And I was saying it last week. I was saying it here 2 weeks ago. Oh, Becky's beating the fuck out of Char's daddy.
Yeah.
You know? Or at least now, out of respect, trying to convince Rick to convince Charlotte or something.
Another thing that I like about it
is more than one?
Yes.
With Batista?
Yes.
Shit, let me drink to that.
Another thing that I like about it is that I don't think it's taking away from anybody else.
Exactly.
I think sometimes with Batista, they try to shoehorn him into other stuff. Like, Batista and Brian, why? Like, no, it's fucking Brian. He doesn't need to be in there with Batista. Whatever. This is stupid. Batista in with the Evolution versus the Shield. Oh, God, why are you wasting the Shield's time? The Shield could be doing something way better than fucking feuding with these dumbasses. You know, but if it's Batista versus Triple H, cool.
What if you want to make someone interesting, why not try to have Orton be the voice of reason maybe between the two? Again,
cool. Yeah. Cool, because I don't mind it because that's your nostalgia act for Mania, which you have to have. I get it.
Confirmed, so, Triple H is dressed up as Thanos for his entrance.
Why not? So, yeah, let Triple H not fuck over some young guy. Let Randy Orton not fuck over some young guy.
Yeah, we'll leave all the fucking over to Vince this year.
Yeah, Becky, Kofi. Let's let them, you know, do their own thing, play in their own sandbox, and I'm okay with it. And... I know this is going to sound really weird coming from me.
Another thing you liked about the Batista thing?
Well, let me say this. I know I'm not that big into comic books.
Uh-oh.
I know I'm not really, you know, really into fucking all the Marvel shit.
You don't even read.
But I kind of enjoyed Batista and his role in the Marvel movies. So maybe I'm a little bit harsh on his acting skills. Maybe I'm a little harsh on him. He was kind of funny. If you write some good stuff for him, maybe he's improved. Okay, I'm cool with
that. He got blowed up very quick for just dragging out Ric Flair a couple of feet.
Well, that's true, but I'm not talking about wrestling ability.
Okay.
I'm talking about entertainment value.
Okay.
So the entertainment value, okay. So I'm not like pulling my hair off. God damn it, why the fuck are we getting Batista? Because right now it seems that he's not taking any shine off of any, you know,
more anyone deserving, you like.
More deserving wrestler. Anyone I like, yes. Yeah. He's not taking any shine away from there. So if y'all, if you two want to play together, go for it. Play together.
So I'm they're okay pushing this as, because remember, the SmackDown 1000 promo, Triple H has done everything you could do in the business except beat Batista. How do you feel with the whole authority storyline, and now you're adding Batista in the mix to where Triple H is the face in this rivalry?
I think that's where you're going to go. I think Vince should be the heel. Vince is the senile, stuck in his ways, trying to do shit that doesn't make sense because he thinks it's right. And Triple H has to be, no, look at all these, this crop of these amazing,
look at the future.
Look at the future. Look at what I got going on in NXT. Look at this guy Ricochet. Look at Aleister Black.
Look at Kofi.
Holy fuck. Look at Kofi. We need to give some of these young guys the thing. He's gonna be the fucking babyface. So why not have him as a babyface go up against a heel Batista, and that somehow tie into the stuff with Vince going crazy and senile? Why not? Like I'm kind of digging it.
Okay.
Now I can tell you what I don't like.
Oh. Here we go.
Since when was anybody ignoring you, Batista? Like, do I have your attention now? Like, yeah, but you'd never not had anybody's attention if you showed up, but the camera would be in your face. Like, who's saying fuck Batista?
So
nobody's fucking Batista.
I liked everything.
Okay.
And
like, why does he have a beef? He has no reason to have beef.
After watching 8.5-9 seasons of The Walking Dead, I've learned a lot about context.
Okay.
So we can get a flashback from like a year or two ago in a 30-second clip, and it makes sense, and I move on.
Okay.
So wait till next week, or wait till it's time for him to cut a promo and explain why he's doing it, and he'll explain then why he did what he did yesterday. And then it'll all make sense. So I'm going to let that slide.
Okay.
That's it for the WWE stuff on the telly.
Okay.
We already mentioned this earlier. Bruce Pritchard returning to creative.
Because Arn is out.
Yeah, because they let Arn go. And I hate being that. Well, I don't hate being that guy, but I'm going to be that guy because I've been that guy for the last couple of weeks. I think WWE.
You're that guy.
WWE is trying to take up as much talent that they can so that AEW doesn't get them. Richard was doing just fine doing the podcast, just fine doing his mortgage thing, just fine doing StarCast and all this other stuff,
working with Booker,
you know, working, you know, all that other stuff. I'm gonna have the WWE's corporate mentality under a microscope for the next year to figure out what they do and what they don't do, if it's done for the benefit of their business or for the detriment of their competition.
Why not both?
Both two things can be true at the same time. And that's the other shoe dropping. I mean, Arn Anderson was let go last week, and now Bruce Pritchard's back on the helm.
So was Arn Anderson fired because he did something wrong?
I honestly don't know.
Okay.
So yeah, Bruce is back. I'm not sure what the future holds for the podcast, because there's a lot of work that goes into that, and he's not going to have that time anymore.
Right.
Then again, StarCast did get another trademark today for another show.
Okay.
Dead Man Talking.
Okay.
So Conrad and The Undertaker. The Undertaker might have his own podcast, and he'll be at StarCast the weekend of Double or Nothing.
That's cool.
So what did you think of Orlando for Mania 24 when we went? You like Flo Rida?
I liked Orlando itself. I thought it was a cool little place. I thought that the venue was shit.
Yeah.
The Citrus Bowl. Oh god, that place was a shithole. That was at WrestleMania 24. I did not go to WrestleMania 33. I didn't go. You went. Mm-hmm. As far as I could tell, it looked a little bit more gussied up than what it was at 24, but I don't know, I wasn't there. So I'm like, okay, whatever. I liked the open air of 24 where they had all the fucking fireworks for Ric Flair's entrance. It looked beautiful. I like the fact that it's on the East Coast so that when you're trying to do all these beautiful entrances,
in the dark.
So sorry, you're not having Bray Wyatt come out like in fucking daylight trying to be creepy. So it fucking works. So yeah, I mean, there's pros and cons.
Looks like they're going to announce tomorrow WrestleMania 36 next year, January the 5th, 2020. Tampa, Florida.
Tampa, not Orlando.
Tampa.
So not in the Citrus Bowl.
No, it will be in the stadium where the Buccaneers play. And ironically, it's the same stadium where the XFL has a team coming out 2020.
Is it open air?
Mm-hmm.
Is it old as fuck?
No.
Okay.
Would you be interested in going?
I'm always interested in going. It's just I don't have any fucking money.
Well, damn.
If these fuckers would start paying and, like, give us some money or something that are watching the show, maybe I'll go. No, I'm kidding. I'm not asking
not really
for money.
He's not really kidding. Yeah. Quick little talk about New Japan.
I heard Arn has had arguments with Vince. That's what Robert Medlin said.
We hear a lot of things.
Okay.
The anniversary show in Tokyo, the main event is going to be Jay White, the heavyweight champion, against the light heavyweight champ, Will Ospreay.
Okay, hope Ospreay kills him.
And they're also going to be starting the New Japan Cup tournament. The winner of the tournament will face Jay White at G1 Supercard in Madison Square Garden. Let me tell you some of the matches, just to refresh your memory of what we're going to have here.
I almost don't care about anything New Japan as long as Jay White is the fucking prize at the end of the tunnel. Hey, if so-and-so wins this, they get to fight Jay White. Aw. Like, okay. Like, just tell me that they get a shot at the title. Don't tell me that they get to fight Jay White.
Shot at the title.
Oh, awesome. Who's the champ?
Yeah. We'll get that ready.
Oh, okay. I'm sure it's some Japanese guy that's really badass.
Former heavyweight champ Yuji Nagata against Tomohiro Ishii.
Oh, cool. That'd be a good match. Hopefully none of those two guys have to fight Jay White.
Kazuchika Okada against Michael Elgin.
Ooh, that's going to be badass, except for Michael Elgin. But, man, either way, he's better than Jay White.
Tetsuya Naito against Kota Ibushi.
Ooh, Tetsuya Naito versus Ibushi. That's going to be a badass match. But they will probably fucking suck against Jay White.
Evil against Zack Sabre Jr.
Oh, that match is going to be cool. Suck if Naito versus fight Jay White.
God damn it, Travis. Hiroki Goto against Sonata.
Yes!
Yeah, that's enough!
No, Jay White!
And I don't know. I forgot who his opponent was. I've never heard of his opponent.
He's probably better than Jay White.
Possibly. Nick Miller.
Oh, yeah.
From the Mighty 61. Oh, yeah. He asked for his release in September, October last year. His wife had given birth, and he wanted to be closer to them in Australia.
Gotcha.
That's a good excuse to get out of a contract you don't want to be in.
Robert Midler says y'all need a Patreon. Maybe we do.
No, we don't.
Maybe we do.
No, we don't. We're still looking for a good third co-host, but that won't let us down. That can't.
Fuck.
Got a hand. NXT UK, speaking of which, Nick Miller's in the tournament for New Japan. Oh, Shane Thorne, a couple of weeks ago, had a badass match against, man, it slipped the back of my mind. Adam Cole? No, it's somebody taller. But Shane Thorne had a great match on fucking NXT.
I guess somebody taller.
He actually had another good match on this last episode of NXT against Trent Seven from Mustache Mountain.
Okay.
The only problem with that and the main event was that these matches were taped and the next couple of weeks airings of NXT UK were taped a month ago during Access Royal Rumble weekend. In front of, like, crickets. So it just, match of the week candidate, Tony Storm against Rhea Ripley, the rematch from TakeOver Blackpool. But they didn't get the reactions that they got before. You know, I'm a big proponent of all the planets, all the stars aligning. If the crowd doesn't give a shit about them on television, why should I give a shit about them if I'm watching it at home? So, like, maybe 5 minutes into the match, I just got on my phone and got on Facebook and started watching a whole bunch of stuff. That's it for NXT UK.
Robert Midland in the live chat just said this. I'm psyched they signed Piper Nevin and Jazzy. They signed Piper Nevin?
They were ringside for TakeOver Blackpool, I think. Yeah.
Hell yeah! Dude! Fucking love Piper Nevin! Mm-hmm. Hell yeah!
And Jazzy Gabbert.
Jazzy Gabbert. Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah, Jazzy Gabbert too. Yeah.
Crush you.
Awesome. Hell yeah.
Tonight on NXT UK, or today on NXT UK, that I'm going to go back and watch just for shits and giggles. Cassius Ohno.
Oh, no.
Against. Da-dum, 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 da-dum.
Walter.
Walter. Cassius Ohno against the chopping machine, Walter, the ring general. That alone is going to make me watch.
Okay.
Tag title defenses, Gibson and Zach Gibson, and I forget the other guy's name, against Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch. So a couple of strong style fighters there is going to be good. That's it for NXT UK.
All right.
You told me an hour before we went on the air that you had not watched NXT US.
That's true.
So we tried our best to watch the whole thing.
Yes.
But before we do, this is the first time that we get to talk to you, or that they get to see you talk about the four guys from the NXT roster that have been showing up on Raw and SmackDown the last couple of weeks. What do you think about all that?
Again, it kind of all depends how all this ties in with the Triple H and Stephanie and Shane versus Vince kerfuffle and what all happens with all that. It kind of depends, okay?
Especially since they're using the NXT placards when they have their names on there. They're not already on Raw or SmackDown. They're still defining them as NXT.
And they're showing up on both shows.
Yeah.
So, okay. And I kind of like the fact that they are kind of an attraction and that's it. They're like, hey, we're just showing off our NXT guys. But I think it's a little problematic, the fact that they're beating their champions, because fuck, are you going to give them a title shot? And if you give them a title shot, what title are they going for? A Raw title? SmackDown tag titles? What are they doing? And if they win, fuck, does that mean that they're on the roster? Well, then you know, I need to get rid of those NXT placards. And I really, really like Aleister Black, and I really, really like Ricochet. And as a team, as an attraction to show off our NXT guys, cool. As a team to be a team, that's dark chocolate mixed with dulce de leche. It doesn't really work. Like, they're really cool and they're really awesome separate, but putting them together, okay, I guess. I don't know if I want that fucking ice cream sandwich there.
Let me speak on that.
Okay.
Because that's my first big fail already with this.
Mm-hmm.
We've said this before, that the main roster finds a way to alter somebody, sometimes in the very slightest, but just enough to where it bothers you like a fucking tick. Mm. Like, you know, it does, like, it didn't need to happen, but now you're making it kind of like, you're making me change my view of a certain wrestler to a point that I'm not as big a fan as I was before. And Exhibit A, as of either Monday or Tuesday. Aleister Black.
What about us?
2 weeks ago, Triple H came out in front of Raw and said, one of the best pure strikers on that I've ever seen, Aleister Black. And Michael Cole did a nice elevator interview to sell me on Aleister Black, sell the audience on Aleister Black. The match we got was nothing like it. Aleister was getting whooped by Elias. Aleister just popped out his black mask, and that was the end of the match. He looked a little better on SmackDown against Andrade. Yeah. But again, when you've seen them cut 35-minute matches and you see him on television for 12, Aleister Black, part of the reason that you like Aleister Black, or at least in my opinion, I'm not going to put words in people's mouth. Part of the reason I like Aleister Black is he reminds me of old school Undertaker. The character. The character Undertaker, okay, where you see everybody against the wall, and then you see, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
That's the Undertaker. Why the fuck is Aleister Black, if he's the guy that's coming up almost out of the crypt through smoke, badly timed, by the way. They're getting it all wrong on television. Like, he's supposed to land right when the drums of the start kicking in. Why the fuck is he in the locker room chatting up with Ricochet? That's the kind of guy you want to have in the boiler room, in the shadows, in the dark, somewhere that you don't think a person should be.
Yeah.
Why is he fraternizing in the locker room? Don't make him like everybody else. You brought him out and sold him as something completely different from everything else that I've seen. Why are you putting him in a situation like everyone else?
Yeah.
Like, this is if Demon Finn was eating catering on television before his match in Demon Guard. It doesn't make sense. Why is Aleister back there? And you already have a team with Gargano and Ciampa. You easily could have had a nice, respectful rivalry building up to Ricochet versus Finn for the Intercontinental title at Mania. But now we're just going to have Black and Ricochet team because they both flip and they both dip and they put their hands on their hip and all this other stuff, and I don't know.
Which even then, Black isn't that much of a flippy-dippy. He's a striker. He can counter flippy-dippies, but he's not a flippy-dippy.
Match of the week candidate, which could have been my pick if I had not watched anything else from the episode of NXT, Aleister Black versus Roderick Strong.
Yes.
That is a perfect representation of what the character Aleister Black is. And if you put that on the television for 20 minutes in front of a national audience, they will understand.
See, Aleister is all about strikes and counter strikes.
He rarely flips.
He's more of a defensive wrestler than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
But he's defensive, and when he gets on the offense, he doesn't do
what
suplexes
and
stuff. But I actually saw him on Monday and Tuesday do a suplex, a German, which is not out of his wheelhouse, but it's a little bit out of his specialty. What sold people on me for him, or what sold me on him, the reason why I was sold was all the strikes and how he was semi a pacifist, but not a pacifist. He would let the fight come to him. He would sit down. Come on.
Hands behind his back.
And like start the match.
Wait for you to make the mistake and capitalize.
Like that was his first match. Yeah. He was just standing there like, okay, come on.
I'm calling it before March is over. If Aleister Black runs into a pole because his opponent moved, I'm done. Like Braun. I'm waiting for Black to do like the watered down shit that everybody else does because he's on a watered down program.
And see, on SmackDown too, with the thing in the locker room, you know, it's one thing if you're trying to give them personalities, but Black, he's not a charismatic talker.
His personality
he's a subdued thinker talker. Like if he says something, it's important and it's well thought out. But when he's trying to throw a catchphrase, it's like, because you're fade to Black. Like
a year and a half ago, he was our generation's Jake the Snake Roberts.
He didn't less wordy Jake the Snake.
He didn't have to talk loud because if you spoke strongly, because if your words had weight, you can speak softly and everyone would still listen.
Yes.
And he would wait for you to make the mistake. And now Aleister feels like another character on television.
And what
sets Aleister Black apart isn't his charisma or how he delivers. It's the visual. It's him rising up from the crypt on the side. It's watching all of his scars and all of his tattoos. He's not cutting a promo on you. He's cutting a promo about how his life has affected him. And you can see the remnants of what he used to be all over his body. Like, he has a way to deliver something to get the message without you even realizing that was the message you were expecting to listen to. And Aleister Black now is just like everyone else.
Enjoy infamy, Velveteen Dream. That's all he had to say. That's it. Enjoy. Like, he was so succinct and to the fucking point that it's...
A backhanded compliment that is more welcoming than any brown nosing.
Yes.
Because it came from him.
But instead you get the thing on SmackDown before you fade to black. Like, oh, man.
Like he's impersonating Vince when he says it.
And Ricochet.
I'm waiting for him to wear a cape. They're billing him as a superhero. Might as well.
You know what I want out of Ricochet? And I don't know if he could pull this off. I want the babyface version of the cockiness of TJP.
Yes!
Maybe, and this is going to sound really, really stupid, but work with me here. Maybe I want him to be a little bit more like Sonic in the Sonic cartoons.
Up, you know? Over and Gone?
Yeah, where Sonic was an asshole, but he was still a babyface. But Sonic's a fucking asshole. Like,
and you're a Sega guy. You know this very well.
I fucking love Sonic. But, like, he's a dick. But he's like, kind of cool. Like, that's kind of what I want out of Ricochet.
Yeah.
The fast, super flippy, dippy, who's kind of charismatic, kind of a dick. But you know what? He backs it up, you know? But not, like, but still a babyface, you know? Like, TJP was able to pull off the dick as a heel. But I want him to do that as a face, if that makes sense.
They debuted Ciampa and Gargano together, not as DIY, but as a tag team. And they were still, subliminally, you could tell that they were still against each other.
Vince will finally get his Mighty Mouse with Ricochet.
But they were together as a cohesive unit. And they got over on the bar. After they got over on the Revival. If you're doing attraction matches, this is where old man Travis would come in and say, we need enhancement talent. We're not even past WrestleMania where these guys should have debuted in the beginning.
Right.
Because Roman wasn't there and they needed supplement. You're already burning through matches that we would have wanted to see without any build, without any payoff, without any anything.
Yeah.
With four of your top guys from NXT. Because the six people that you tried to bring up before, five plus Lars somewhere in the dark, y'all either didn't do anything with them or it didn't work.
Or still not working.
Because, or still waiting because I'm still like this on Lacey. Like, give it to me. Give it to
I'm
me.
I'm not.
What?
I am done with Lacey.
What? Already?
I am done. Stick a fork in me.
Oh, man.
What the fuck is this stupid bullshit? Oh. She comes out, walks in, and walks away. Like, it's almost with no even intention. Is she teasing us to talk? No, she's not even doing that. She's just, I don't really know what my motivation is here for the script. All I know is that Vince said it'll be great, and he is my boss. So he tells me just walk out and then walk back away. I don't get it, but this is what they're telling me to do, so I'm going to do it.
I'm waiting for the promo that says, you know what, I've been waiting for months to debut, but every city I went to, I just didn't think they were ready for me. So I went in and I left.
But she's not even acting like that. She walks out.
So?
No, she walks out. She turns around. Yeah. She doesn't give a snarl to the audience like, well, I was going to say something, but that fat fucking road too doesn't deserve me. Like, she doesn't do anything to exude that. Okay. All she does is walk out. Turn around, walk away. She doesn't emote. She doesn't look. She doesn't turn her nose up. She doesn't do anything. It's like, we're just going to interrupt Elias with a shuffled card deck. Lacey. Okay. Well, and Lacey just walks out and then goes away. And like, that's it. And it makes no sense. There's no body language. There's no purpose. There's no intent other than, well, this is what we're doing for her to debut her, and it's going to be a tease. Why is it a tease? Because she's hot. Gee, thanks, Vince. Like, there's got to be more to it than that. Yeah. Vince sometimes thinks he's shooting clothed porn where you don't need subtext. But this isn't that.
Got me.
This isn't that. Wrestling needs subtext. Or just plain old goddamn text. There's not even the subtext.
Caption.
There needs to be closed something. Caption. There's nothing. She just do. And that's it. I'm done. And heavy machinery. That stuff was so stupid with the Ascension. And you already done fucked the Ascension seven ways from Sunday. So, like, trying to get them over using the Ascension. It's not going to give you anything because that there's no rub to be rubbed. Oh, I'm going to get that Ascension rub. That's nothing.
That fake laugh from Connor. Oh, God. I'm done.
And then, dude, it was charming in NXT when Dozer was naturally doing it being goofy, and you know he was being goofy. But again, he's debuting as a weirdo who probably has. Yeah. Like he,
I'm waiting for him to cosplay during Halloween as the Penguin from Batman Returns. Or from Batman 77, 66.
Lacey Evans is totally playing a judgy debutante. She totally looks over the crowd and turns on her heel at them.
Thank you.
That's Randy. That's what my wife
says. Of course, coming from another white woman, she knows. I don't see that. I've dated white women. They do it all the time.
I don't see her actually emoting that.
They don't. It's not an emoting. It's sometimes like, man, if you're from Fifth Ward, all you got to do is this. You already know you're about to get fucked.
But she doesn't even do that. She doesn't do anything.
Her white girl version of that is her turning her heel, turning around.
She's not even turning her heel.
You're not watching.
She's just
your wife just around. Told you how it's done, and you're not looking.
She's wrong.
Oh.
And you're wrong, too.
Ooh, that's. I wish I was a fly in the wall for that conversation when you get home.
I'm sorry, baby. I love you.
She said
it's subtext, it's there. No, it's not.
You get the last word as long as it says sorry,
removing
baby.
The gloves, that's passing judgment. Trust me. Removing the gloves, she's not even doing it judgily. She's just
Let's talk about some bright spots in the women's division, especially in NXT.
Yeah.
Xia Li, Mia Yim, go.
That's a badass fucking match.
Fuck yeah, it was.
I was not expecting that out of Xia Li.
She was a wreck. Was it last year? She debuted in the first Mae Young, and she was bad. Like, they built her up with all this Chinese training that she does. Right. But none of that came across in her debut in the tournament.
Correct.
This was a completely different woman. I fell in love with Melina.
She looked like she was ready.
Yes.
You know, like she needed a little bit more time in the oven during the first two Mae Young classics. Now it looks like she's put in more training. And she's ready to hang. Now, how much of that was Mia Yim carrying her? I don't know.
Because Mia Yim sees and she knows what she's doing. She's been around the block. She wrestles half of the women that are in NXT.
When she went after Mia with all those kicks, where Mia went over to the corner and was like, okay.
I see you.
Okay, all right.
Orchid from Killer Instinct.
That was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Wait, but Robert Midland says, I've only dated Mexicans, so I don't know.
Broaden your horizons, free your mind, and the rest will follow.
Yeah.
My match of the week pick. Johnny Failure, Velveteen Dream, North American Championship. Saw the match a second time with you earlier.
Yep.
I tried not to spoil this for you because I knew this weeks in advance. I'm glad nobody else that we know spoiled it for you on the Facebooks or anything like that, especially with this little nugget that I'm about to give you that you didn't know.
Okay.
When they taped this match 3 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
they taped it just like you saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2 minutes later, they came back and reshot the ending with Johnny Gargano winning in front of the same audience so that you didn't know which ending they were going to put on the program. So as of last week, when I saw that that episode, I didn't know if when that episode was over, if Velveteen was actually going to keep the belt or if they edited it and they have Gargano winning. Mm. So that when I saw Gargano on Raw without the belt and they acknowledged that he had lost it to Velveteen, I'm like, yeah, they got me.
What a way to kill kayfabe.
That was fucking good, man. I loved it. That was an awesome match. That accentuates the consistency of what you get in NXT. Fucking Velveteen Dream being the Mega Man of the brand, absorbing a little bit of everybody's power.
Yeah.
And just merging it like Cell from Dragon Ball into like what you see now. Everything. And to think that was Patrick Clark from Tough Enough that had no idea what the fuck he's doing. He debuted on NXT with Patrick Clark with the red, white, and blue tights. What the fuck is he doing? And then he just soaked up the Velveteen Dream, and now it's on, dude.
Yeah.
I think the investment that I've had in the character is leading me to the payoff right now where I'm calling this my match of the week. Because if it was any other night against any other guy, it would have been a great match. But with the stakes and the opponent and the quality that they put on and the aftermath, knowing that they might not have given us this, and I need a watch to figure out which ending they went with, you know, I fucking loved it, dude. I have one flaw, but I'll let you go first.
That's my match of the week pick.
Woo! Yeah.
It was good.
You were undecided before you got here.
I was undecided.
And you hadn't watched any of this.
I didn't really know what my match of the week candidates even were going to be. Not saying that it was a bad week. It's just, I don't know. Nothing really stood out and really tickled my pickle. Mm-hmm. But when I watched this match right here, this shit right here, whoo! Oh, that was my pick. I have a little bit of a flaw. Little bit.
What's yours?
It started out kind of slow. It's kind of good. Like, it didn't really get my attention that much.
Until, I noticed you on the phone in the beginning.
Until about maybe halfway, maybe two-thirds of the way through. That's when
I would say maybe a third of the way through. And I noticed that in the beginning of this watch going around, because the first couple of minutes was Velveteen actually holding his own against Johnny Wrestling. Yes. And then she just bitch slapped him like three different times to remind him that this ain't your typical fuck. I'm here to wrestle. Like, let's go. And
this ain't your typical fuck.
He out-brooded Aleister Black. Yeah. He out-flippied, not out-flippied, but he hang-flippied with fucking Ricochet. He outclassed EC3 or hung with him in class. He survived the fucking ladder match with all those other motherfuckers in there. And now he can hang, not out wrestle, but he could hang with Johnny Wrestling. Like, this is the guy. Like, I'm fucking sold.
Yeah.
The only flaw that I have is the optics. If I'm seeing Johnny Gargano having 30, 35 minute, 40 minute matches, main eventing takeovers, and then this match that had little to no build because Velveteen won this on a network special that wasn't really advertised on television, and then this happened on just an episode of NXT in front of the Full Sail Zombies, it just I was expecting a longer match than what it was.
I'm glad
it was what it was, but in the beginning, watching it live in the moment, and the fall happened, I was expecting a little more.
Well, that lends itself to it being as much of an upset as it is. One thing that I reacted to sitting here on the couch, not knowing what you knew, that they recorded two different things and this and that, me just sitting there on the couch knowing nothing about this match, watching it, I was fucking surprised. Because I was thinking, surely.
Oh, their names weren't Shirley.
That, you know, Johnny's retaining because this is not a takeover. Johnny has gone to war with everybody else.
And he's on Raw and SmackDown right now.
Yeah, like, he's keeping this. You know, he's not losing this. And there's, you know, what's his name up in the rafters? Ciampa up in the rafters looking, clutching Goldie. That's the story there, you know, that they're both the champions and they're trying to reconcile because they both have titles and maybe, you know, maybe something's going on there with them. But I was completely swerved that Velveteen did it, and I think that is part of the story. Velveteen wasn't supposed to win this. This isn't a takeover. This wasn't Johnny Takeover out there. He lost a trap game, you know? He got caught looking forward to the fucking Golden State Warriors and got beat by the Nuggets, you know? Like, holy fuck,
or
what?
Philly.
Yeah, or Philly. Memphis. Yeah. Like, holy fuck, they lost to who? Oh, shit. Now, not trying to shit on Velveteen Dream, but it's just Velveteen wasn't supposed to win this. Johnny wasn't supposed to lose this.
That was a welcome surprise.
Holy fuck, that way. Oh my God. Right. You know, like,
you marked out visibly on the couch when that happened. Because
the people there at Full Sail marked out. Everybody was standing up on their feet, clap-a-lapping. And that was pretty cool. And yeah, I get it. You kind of have a disdain for the Full Sail crowd. You call them the Full Sail Zombies, whatever. I still see them as dedicated wrestling fans that go to the show that is available to them. Fuck, if I lived there, you bet your ass I'd be there at every fucking taping. I would. So I'd be a regular to NXT if I lived in that fucking city. But I don't. So I could kind of understand, you know? So when I saw all of their surprise and their respect, and I was surprised and had that much respect, the amount of growth that we've seen out of Velveteen, not even from Patrick Clark, just as Velveteen, starting out as a heel with a stupid gimmick that nobody likes and
nobody understood.
Nobody understood. Yeah. And it was just whatever, this dumbass with a stupid gimmick. And like nobody would actually cheer for him. And he was kind of a heel, not because he was good at being a heel, but a heel like, this guy. Yeah, like whatever. But like he started Mega Manning, absorbing everybody's fucking powers, and it fucking works, man. It works. So yeah, I'm on board. I'm digging it. I like it.
Anything more than match of the week?
No.
Okay, I agree.
I mean, you know, the tag matches with Ricochet and Alistair versus Revival, Ricochet and Alistair versus The Bar, those were really good.
Oh, my God. I saw – and I just complained about oversaturating so soon, so much so soon. For fuck's sake, please give me Alistair versus Nakamura. Yeah. That tease on SmackDown, hell, Nakamura – Rusev.
Did I say The Bar?
Rusev, yeah. And, Rusev and Alistair. Oh,
yeah.
Because they're those, strikers. Those are good. They're strikers.
Yeah.
So seeing them react, seeing Black react to Rusev's kicks or Nakamura's speed, that's fucking fun to watch. That's why I feel like it's a wasted opportunity to have these guys teamed up together. You brought them here for a purpose. Let Alistair do his thing his way. Let Ricochet fly around and do circles around the planet his way. Have Ciampa and Gargano bitch around their own way. And three different things on the menu.
Yeah.
Especially if you got 5 hours of television every week.
Especially if you haven't figured out what the fuck you're doing with the other NXT people that you brought up that are supposed to be choosing which brand they go to and they haven't fucking chosen. Mm-hmm. You know? At some point, I would imagine Shane and or Steph and or Vince and or Triple H to be like, hey, Lacey, pick a fucking side. Hey, Heavy Machinery, pick a fucking side. You know, we haven't seen that much of fucking Nikki Cross. And well, we all know what kind of happened with Lars. EC3 is starting to get lost in the shuffle.
Already. It hasn't even been 2 months.
Yeah. So it's like this crop of, the next generation of NXT people that we did. Like, it didn't work. Mm-mm. And you're already trying to bring more? Mm-hmm. Fuck, man. What the hell are you doing?
Hopefully, with Triple H acknowledging, much to your chagrin,
yes,
and much to your disagreement, that NXT is a third brand. They have announced a international shakeup a couple of weeks after WrestleMania in Montreal. Maybe they'll move some of the main roster guys down to NXT. Maybe they'll move a couple of people to NXT UK. And just like literally shake things up. Because this last, if at least on Raw, for the last 3 months, it feels like I've seen the same episode. All 3 months. SmackDown's always given me something different.
Okay.
Enough difference to the point where I don't feel the monotony, the autonomy of SmackDown's episodes as opposed to Raw, feeling like just a carbon copy of the same thing.
Yeah.
You know? And even then, with Roman back, I would hate for his push or his reaction to suffer, not because of his performance, but because of the booking. Not just of his character, but of everyone else on the show. You know, if you're going to have Roman Superman punching Aleister Black 6 times, then I'm done with this shit, you know? But if you're going to have Roman build up and actually have some segments backstage where he's just back there reminiscing about the past or him talking about what it's like to struggle or him or what he's fighting for now that he wasn't fighting for when he was with a group, something to humanize him. You have it there. Don't try to make him into something he's not when we know what he is. Just accept the fact that he is who he is and just go with it.
You know what they need to do with Roman? And I hate to keep circling back to Roman.
Well,
but,
okay, we're going
to
end the show. Might as well end it on Roman.
Right. You know what they need to do with him? They need to have him lose a lot. Lose a bunch of shit. Have him become Sami Zayn or Johnny Gargano. Just lose,
or Bray
lose,
Wyatt.
Lose. Or Bray Wyatt. Lose, lose, lose.
Kurt Angle.
And then at some point be like, I came back for cancer for this? What the fuck? Have him do what they're trying to do with Mojo, which he looks in the fucking mirror, he tries to pump himself up, he talks to himself, like, or have him get fucking down and depressed and have, like, Seth, hey, man, You came back from fucking cancer. You could win a match against fucking Dolph Ziggler. What the fuck is wrong with you? And have him be like, I did all of this in my personal life so I could come back and try to win.
You fucking lost to Kurt Hawkins.
Yeah. And then he doesn't win shit. And I'm not saying that because I want the old glutton for punishment, blue, boo, Roman. No, I'm saying
we need to invest in the character on television.
Yes.
Not the human being. We need to invest in the character on television.
Yes, and you need to build character, and that building of the character isn't some big dumb guy who just wins matches. That kind of shit works for Brock, for Big Show back in the day.
For Braun,
for Lars, for the big monster hulking types. And he's big, don't get me wrong, but he's not that big.
Especially not now.
He needs to go through some shit for people to have more sympathy for him. Right now, you do have a lot of sympathy for him as a person. A lot of people see Joe and Owai as a person. Oh, shit. Okay, well, now he's back. But a lot of us are like, awesome, you're back. But, oh, God, please don't fuck up your book.
I don't want to boo Roman Reigns yet. I want to keep cheering Joe and I.
Dude, you just came back from cancer. It's okay. You'll win the next one. Oh, man. Damn, he keeps losing, man. That fucking sucks. And then have him be visibly distraught and depressed from the losing streak.
They could have pulled this when Cena lost to The Rock, and then the next month he was fed to Brock Lesnar, but they had Cena win. You could have built up that entire year of Cena, like, losing.
Yeah. Well, Cena was dejected on the ramp of WrestleMania after being like, what the hell?
I talked all this shit, and this old man beat me.
Yeah, and you would have thought that they would have went with that. Have fucking Cena show up on Raw a month later, no, having shaved, has on a fucking t-shirt that was inside out or bullshit.
No, he has a shirt from like four eras ago.
Yeah, he comes back with a Fruity Pebbles shirt. Yeah, or some shit like that. Like have that to be like, this dude like beat fucking cancer, but he can't beat fucking Dolph Ziggler, you know, and like have that mess with him. And then once you really have everybody behind him,
turn him heel.
Have him. No, don't turn him heel. Don't turn him heel. Have him just start fucking beating the biggest fucking heels out there. And then people will finally get behind him. Yeah. That's how you do it.
That's it, man. That's our thing. All next week is our prediction show for Fastlane. Boom, boom. And then after that, 4 more weeks till WrestleMania.
Damn. Yeah.
In the meantime, for the podcasters, our iTunes, our Stitcher people, I'm working on something special.
Oh, are you?
So we'll leave it at that.
Oh, you're going to do some ASMR or something? This guy.
And I'm not even going to tell you when. If you subscribe.
Roman versus gender. Have Roman lose in gender, for God's sake.
Oh, hell, God. Have him lose to one of the Singh brothers. Oh. You're not going low enough. Have him lose to Nia. And on that, we out.
Adios, my friends. Keep it classy. Now this looks like on top of me. So everybody just follow me. Because we need a little controversy. Because it feels so cool without me. I said this looks like on top of me. So everybody just follow me. Because we need a little controversy. Because it feels so empty without me.